This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, we're up to the big number, episode 100 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
For the 100th time, Tristan, man, who could have ever foreseen this? I'm so stoked.
Time flies, and it's been fun. We've learned so much, and we appreciate everyone for following the journey.
We're bringing back our boy who helped send our trajectory, our path to a different level. So Joe DeFranco is our guest, and I know you're stoked. And guys listening, I know you've been waiting, and you're stoked as well. So
yeah, man. Joe was a mentor before I even met him. The last 12 months to develop a relationship with him, and to, you know, just have the opportunity to, you know, speak to him and, you know, at the same time do some stuff for him. It's a cool feeling for me, man. So I'm stoked to get him on. Couldn't be more appropriate than get Joe DeFranco on for episode 100.
Sometimes I forget that Joe D is just one guy because I watch his YouTube videos, and the Joe D on the YouTube videos, and the Joe D is our boy and my friend and your friend and mentor, and you know, we've gotten through that layer, and he gives us a different version.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I'm super excited for this. We already got the camaraderie, and we're just going to get right into it with a good chat and bring in you guys quality content.
Yeah, it's going to be cool because, you know, for Joe, you know, we're the only two people that he's trusted to host his show. So it's a big respect level between both of us. So I can't wait to get him on and just chat.
Guys, go right now to iTunes, type in the Industrial Strength Show. It's Jody's podcast. Go to, I think, the first comment. And it was from 2 Novembers ago, and this is before the vision board. I think it was just when the vision board was just an idea on Tristan and myself's, our vision board. We hadn't started it yet. And go look at the first comments, and it's from Tristan. It's crazy. And you just said, hey, Jody, I appreciate you. Everything that you've done, you've been a mentor. Keep bringing good content. And who would have thought 4 months after that comment? I'd said the story before, but I think it's really, really important, guys, listening to the value and the importance of saying what you want, having a plan, having a goal, and going after it. Because Tristan not only put the comment on his post, but then he interviewed him in March. And then we go to New York City to host the show in June. And now we're bringing him back for 100. And it all, you know, it's an attribute to your persistence and then you being clear with what you want.
Yeah, 100%. For, you know, for the guys and girls out there that don't know who Joe DeFranco is, if they've just joined the journey now, well, Joe's one of the you know, legendary strength and conditioning coaches in the industry. Like, his clientele includes players from every single NFL club, including linebacker from Houston, Texas,
Brian Cushing. All-star linebacker.
And his two biggest clients, WWE superstars, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. So that's how highly regarded he is across the world.
When I explain Joe D to young coaches who might not be too savvy with who he is down here in Sydney, I always say Joe D is the coach who takes the 15-year-old boy, develops them into a man, and makes them a pro athlete. He does that. He's done that on numerous occasions. But he's also revitalized the career of Triple H. And Triple H isn't only the superstar. He is in charge of the whole WWE. And I'm pretty sure it's one of the largest sports in America.
Oh.
So the value that Joe D gets in his car midnight, goes over there, helps him. So much, it's an attribute to how much Joe D gives away on his pages to his fans. He gives so much away. But also, could you imagine being coach 101 by him?
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be cool. That's the next step for you. That's the next step. Next time we go to New Jersey, he'll take us through a session. You don't even know it yet, Joe.
I think so. All right, let's get Joe D on. A special guest, the 100th episode, we've got back our man, Joe DeFranco. Joe's a major influence on me and Johnny, and he's doing inspiring work in the strength and conditioning with his DeFranco brand. His clients include the likes of Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Brian Cushing, while he hosts the popular Industrial Strength Show. We welcome back our friend, Joe DeFranco. Joe, my man, welcome back.
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me back. Like I said before we started recording, it's seriously an honor for me to be on the 100th episode. It means a lot, so I'll do my best not to disappoint.
Joe, we appreciate you, man, and we're sure there's no such thing as disappointment when your name's involved. But we were in Jersey. Last time we saw you in real life, it was June, and it's now the end of January. A lot of time in terms of business, life, branding has passed. Could you share with our fans and people listening at home what 2017 has already brought for you and what your goals are for the rest of the year, what you want to achieve with the DeFranco brand?
One of my big goals for this year and moving forward is just to reach and help as many people as possible. And anybody who follows me, you probably have seen we're trying to do more. I'm putting more out on YouTube. I got back on YouTube more regularly. I was almost like an original YouTuber without being a YouTuber. I never, you know, my goal is never to make a living off of YouTube, but we were one of the first gyms kind of posting training footage of our guys training and sharing some of our secrets, so to speak, before it was kind of, you know, I feel like Gary Vaynerchuk came along and made it almost cool to give away free content and share. And I love that. I agree with, it's scary how much I agree with a lot of the things that that he says. And I know you guys have had him as a guest on the show. It was awesome. But, you know, I was doing that. And then I just kind of got busy in the day-to-day of running a business, you know, training athletes and running the physical gym. So I got away from some of that stuff. And now, fast forward to 2017, I'm fortunate to be in a position where Cameron's back here in New Jersey. He's taking care of all the training, which we've really... We're focusing on just a handful of athletes and just trying to continue to provide world-class training for a select few of super dedicated athletes and clients. You know, you don't have to be a professional athlete. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete, but we're just looking for people that are super serious that are going to give us 110% effort so we could continue to get better in that area. And Cameron's taken 98% of that responsibility so I could get out there and post more content on YouTube, provide more podcasts, offer more certification courses. Myself and Smitty have our CPPS certification, and you know, we're offering more courses this year, and we're traveling a little bit more, and we just moved the course online, so we're providing that. We just started a new vlog on YouTube, so we're not just doing training footage. I'm kind of giving people a little behind the scenes of my life and how I balance running a business and having a family and, you know, a wife and kids, and still trying to first and foremost be the best dad I could be and best family man I could be. So in a nutshell, just providing as much content as humanly possible to, you know, just continue to spread the good word. I've been telling people I'm trying to get the stigma. In 2003, DeFranco's was a 500 square foot small warehouse or storage closet gym for athletes from New Jersey. You know, small hardcore gym for local athletes. And in 2017, I want, when people say the word DeFranco's, I want it more to be associated with like a global brand that, yes, one small part of the brand is we still train athletes, but it's more about educating and helping athletes, coaches, and just fitness enthusiasts worldwide. And that's what I'm really trying to do this year.
Joe, you mentioned YouTube a few different times. Could you, and you've been in the game, in that game for a while, for young coaches listening at home and for myself, could you share a little bit of advice of how you've grown that? Like, what if somebody were to start a YouTube channel and their mission as a coach is to help people and get their word across through videos, what would you say in maybe one, two, or three steps that you would do, you know, modern day to grow that channel?
I think, well, first, be true to yourself. Don't try to mimic or copy anybody else. You know, now it's a different game on YouTube. When I first started, like I said, there wasn't a lot of people, you know, doing what I was doing, just posting videos and sharing an insight into our gym and what we're doing with our clients. Now it's become more of a personality thing where, you know, you can make a living off of YouTube. There's guys now that I was, and I just learned this like a couple weeks ago. I'm so naive to it because I'm so, I have tunnel vision. I'm so engrossed in what I'm doing. But once we started posting more on YouTube, I started seeing there's guys that have been doing it for only like 2 or 3 years, and they have close to 1 million followers, and like they're huge, like celebrities in the YouTube fitness community. And I don't knock anybody. I would never, you know, try to prevent anybody from making a living. You know, I stay focused on what I'm doing. But when I looked a little bit into like, well, you know, because I'm looking to learn too, like, what are these guys doing? How does this guy have 900,000 subscribers and he's only been on YouTube for 2 years? I look a little deeper and it's not what I want to do. Like, we have big personalities here in New Jersey. Like, yeah, I think we're very entertaining even when we're not trying to be. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do videos that are just trying to get people, you know, the clickbait, as they say. You know, I'm not going to do something, you know, try to pick up chicks at the gym and do pranks. Like, that's not what I do. We train world-class athletes at my gym. We attract a lot of personalities at our gym. So there's some videos we have that are extremely entertaining, but almost as a side effect. So, and I know I always get into a tangent, but so the first thing is, see what other people are doing, see what other successful people are doing, and maybe you borrow a little bit here and there, but be true to yourself. Like, nobody could be a better Joe DeFranco than me, and I can't be a better Tristan or Johnny. I'm going to be a horrible ripoff of you guys. So stay true to yourself, and in the beginning, you're not going to have a lot of subscribers, a lot of views, but just pump out great content. If you're in it for the right reason, genuinely trying to help people, which is why I started with this. You couldn't monetize your YouTube channel when I got started. I genuinely wanted to motivate and help people, and that's what we put videos on YouTube for. And next thing you knew, that high school kid that I posted a video of, he shared it with his friend, the friend shared it with his friend. His friend might have had a friend in California. So now it's not just guys from New Jersey watching DeFranco's YouTube channel. It's people from all over the country. And then it became all over the world now. And so it will grow. You know, I'm all about hustling. And I still go to bed 3-4 in the morning every single night. But and I'm very impatient in a sense. Like, I work my ass off every day because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But at the same time, don't rush it. Don't do things just for views on YouTube or just for subscribers. Stay true to yourself. And this way, like we were speaking before I got started, when your channel grows, it's more of a natural growth. And those followers, those subscribers are true followers of yours. I rather have 50 or 60,000 subscribers that feel like they know and love me and love the content that we're putting out than 1 million subscribers but you don't have that connection with them, you know. So I can only speak for myself. That's how I've grown mine. There's people with a lot more subscribers that I've had. You know, I'm only in that 60,000 range, and I've been on YouTube since 2007, 2008. That's really not a ton compared to some of these guys. But my following is very loyal, and it's still growing by the day. But I'm staying true to myself, so it might take a little longer to get to that 500,000 mark or million mark, but at least I know if and when I get there, those are like true fans that appreciate what we're doing.
Yeah. Joe, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Cameron? Because we met Cameron back in June, and you know, you've had Cameron since he was in high school. It must be great that you've had the chance to mentor someone like him, and the fact that he's still involved in the DeFranco brand after all these years must mean a lot to you as well.
Yeah, excuse me. You can't beat that. I mean, as far as people ask me a lot about, like, when we had the bigger gym here in New Jersey and I had a lot of trainers, like, how do you hire trainers? How do you find the right people? And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's the toughest thing in any customer service driven business. Trying to duplicate yourself and finding other good people, that's the hardest part. And it's why you don't see 50 DeFranco's gyms out there when I've had beyond dozens of offers to franchise my gym, open up more gyms, big time investors with lots of money. And you know, I'm back down to a small private warehouse in New Jersey again. And there's a reason for that. It's tough to find good people. I'm super anal when it comes to the training part. I'm the easiest going guy. Everybody thinks I'm like this hardcore, you know, badass guy. I'm the biggest pushover you'll ever meet. I'm easygoing, easy to get along with. But when it comes to the training and putting the stamp of DeFranco's training on an athlete, that's where I don't have much, you know, give too much leeway for error. And Cameron is the ultimate, you know, kind of partner in crime for me right now, because he started as a 15-year-old kid just trying to get better at high school football. And from day one, I always liked Cameron because he was quiet. He came in, he did the work. I'll never forget his first session when he walked in. He came in with his mom because she was certified and she's a personal trainer and very knowledgeable. And there's just a lot of people kind of saying they train athletes at the time. So she wanted to come, and she didn't know who the hell I was. So she wanted to come and kind of check me out. And she grilled me a little bit. It was funny. We talk about it now. Like, she was kind of testing me to see if I knew what the hell I was doing. So I think I won her over as far as like the knowledge and the caring part. But they won me over because she told me, she's like, listen, I'm a single mom. Cameron's been talking about wanting to train with you. I can't afford to have him come train with you. He's working at Dunkin' Donuts solely to pay for his training with you. Like, he's working there, and then he's bringing you the check from Dunkin' Donuts to pay for his training. And I almost, you know, that almost felt a little bad for that, but I also love that work ethic. You know, I didn't want to just give the guy, you know what, don't worry about it, come for free. Like, you know, I was like, this is a kid that I like already, and it even start training yet. And fast forward, paid his own training through high school, ended up becoming a pretty good high school football player, went on to play in college, continued to train with me in college. And then he needed to get an internship in college, and he asked for my advice because he had to do it somewhere other than the gym he trained at in high school and college. So he went into the college world and got a job in that, he was with South Carolina and he was an assistant or an intern with the strength and conditioning program. And, you know, he saw some things that he didn't really like in the university setting and professional setting. So I'll never forget, he called me at the end of his internship, and it was like the first heart to heart I ever had with him, because he was always real quiet. We had a good relationship. But he would pretty much come into the gym, train, and get the hell out of there. And he called me, and I remember he texted me and was like, hey, do you have a couple minutes? I need to talk to you. And it was, you know, when you get those text messages that there's like, man, this seems kind of serious. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just like, hey, Joe, what's up? You know, got a minute? I go, man, he seems like something's wrong. I ended up talking with him for about an hour, and he was like, man, I'm at a crossroads. I love strength and conditioning and the fitness community, but there's a lot of stuff in politics that's going on out here, like, that I don't really, I didn't know that this all went on in the industry. Now I don't know what the hell I want to do with my life. And I go, listen, I can't promise you anything, but I'm on the verge of needing to hire another trainer. You got the job. Instead of me posting on social media that I'm looking for another trainer, it's yours, but I can't give you a salary because you need to produce in order for me to pay you. So you have the job, but you got to get your own clients. Yep. I will give you a good percentage of that. and it'll be a fair win-win. I will obviously, you know, promote the hell out of you, and as athletes come in, I will recommend you, but I'm not promising you that I'm going to pack your schedule with 100 athletes. You got to go out there and get your own clients, and you know, and we'll take it from there. If you work hard and hustle, you're going to do great. If not, you know, no hard feelings if you got to go somewhere else. And the rest, as they say, is history. He worked with me for 2 years, did great. The opportunity came up in Austin. He went there for 2 years. And, you know, I don't want to get into that. Nothing bad happened there. He just, you know, he's got family and wanted to move back to New Jersey. So now he's back here, and now he's kind of running things at my private facility here in New Jersey and doing great. His schedule's already packed, working with NFL guys, high level. Some pro wrestlers are in there already. So he's killing it. He's now doing what he loves, which is training high level athletes without having to worry about some of the business end of things.
Yeah.
He's doing what he loves. It complements me because I'm able to get out there more and kind of spread the good word of DeFranco's while he holds up the integrity of our training. And you know, it's a great, unique situation because not many people could say, you know, he was, you could say, like, he was trained for 8 years before he got the job, yeah. You know, by going through our system.
And guys listening at home, we're talking about Cameron Joss, if you're unaware of the Cam. And I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. My question comes from, since Cam has come back, where have you been able now to focus that time that Cam's been able to fill? Where are you putting it towards your brand? Is it one specific area? Is it your family? Share a little insight on what your time, has it been more open for you to learn, to share? What are you doing with that time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm busier than ever, but it's all the things that I wanted to do to grow the brand. And like I said, that it's not in one area. I guess if you the one area would be business-wise, it's almost everything other than training athletes. I still train Triple H and Steph. I go to Connecticut and work with them every single week. So I stay sharp as far as training. I designed Brian Cushing's in-season training program. He had a great season with the Texans. He broke their all-time record in tackles for the in franchise history. So I always want to stay, I'll never stop training. But instead of doing it 12, 15 hours a day, now I could do Triple H, Steph, Brian Cushing, a couple NFL guys here and there, and pump out more content on YouTube, make more videos. Even going back, I reposted a instructional deadlift video I shot 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, I watched it. It was like 4 minutes.
But it got buried. You saw the one that we shot in Austin.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah,
I reposted it. It got 30,000 views in a day and a half.
That's crazy.
And I was like, and it didn't, you know, it was a pretty popular video, but I don't know if it had 30,000 views in the first year. 4 years ago when it originally got posted. So it shows we have a new audience, a growing audience, and even just taking the time to go back to some of my older material and reintroduce that to our newer audience. You know, having to kind of answer your question, having Cameron here, it allowed me to do that. It allowed me to start this vlog thing with shout out to Kevin Sampson, who's like my videographer, cameraman, sidekick now. He's doing an internship with us where we could follow some of my family, you know, time and my home time and share that with the people. So I was always just too busy and had too much going on to even find somebody to do that. So we're doing that. And like I said, Smitty and I are pumping more content more than ever on our DeFranco Insider membership site, our CPPS certification. We just put out the Special Strength DVD and manual, our newest product. We started that in June last year, but I had I was always like in the trenches, kind of training people, doing appointments, running the small spot in New Jersey that I had. We never had time, and that was totally on me. Like, I was the one always like saying, "Hey, Smitty, let's postpone the filming one more week because I got to do this, I got to do that." So now we got a product out which we're super proud of that has already helped close to thousands, you know, at least hundreds of coaches worldwide already, if not thousands. I haven't checked the numbers, but you know, so I'm able to reach more people now that Cameron's there and taking care of the athletes and the training. And like I said, we're not doing you know, we're keeping it to 20 clients in here in New Jersey, but those 20 clients all come 3 to 5 days a week. Yes. So next thing you know, 20 clients isn't a ton of clients in this industry, but if you're working with them all 4 days a week, you know, pretty much training full time.
Yeah.
You know, so he's able to do that. He's making a living doing it now and doing great. So I could do all the other stuff. So it's like a perfect teamwork that we got going on. And that's been the biggest help. Even right now, I'm doing this podcast from home. I didn't have to run in there and bang out an appointment and then get with you guys. I'm busy. I got a million things going on, but at least it's all things that I love doing, and I have more freedom of when and how I want to do it.
Yeah. Joe, you mentioned Brian Cushing before. Now that Cush is in the off season, does he come back to Jersey and train with you, or is it something you're just talking to him online and over the phone and giving him programs? How does that work?
It's both. Right now, like physically right now, he's in Houston, Texas. They literally just finished their season about a week and a half ago. So I text him workouts, email him workouts. That's the beauty of technology. Just yesterday, I wrote his wife up a program, and she didn't know how to do an exercise. Ashley video, got my camera out. I demonstrated it real quick as I was walking out the door, shot him a text. Like that. That's where people complain about the internet and technology and people on the computer too much, but that's where it has changed the game. So through distance coaching, it's almost just as good as him being here, because he's not someone that needs the motivation of me sitting there, you know, being a cheerleader. He just wants the X's and O's, so to speak, of the program. So he's more, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And last year, I sat down with him, and we designed a little home gym for him. So now he's got a home gym. He's got access to the Houston Texans weight room, and then he's got a beautiful home gym that everything you would ever need in there. So I would say 3/4 of the year, it's distance coaching. And then over the summer and around now, like next month, he'll come home. In February, he'll be home for a month and a half. And then in June and July, he'll be home, and we'll get after it in person.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Probably a good point that you just actually brought there is that the fact that you wrote a program for his wife and also got the video with Ashley, that's over-delivering. And I know that's a huge thing that you preach out there, and it's probably a good takeout point for maybe young personal trainers or young business owners out there, that, you know, over-delivering is something huge that, you know, I believe in. I think Johnny does as well. And obviously, it's a huge take-home point from what you just said there as well.
Yeah, I live by that. That's definitely number one with me, kind of core value business-wise, is always over-deliver. And I'm proud to say, it's not something we just say, or it's not just a sign on the gym wall. Like, anybody who has ever dealt with us will tell you, you know, you'd be hard pressed to find someone that said that. And I humbly say this, that I trained them or ever did anything for them and didn't over deliver. It might not come back to you right now. You know, I know everybody's very impatient, you know, these young up-and-coming trainers, everybody thinks they could be a millionaire overnight. You just need that one YouTube video to go viral, and you're famous and you're rich, and it, you know, that's the one in a billion. You know, that's the exception to the rule. If you constantly just provide value and over deliver you know, people, it comes back tenfold, and I'm living, breathing proof of that, trust me. I know I have a tendency to talk too much, but a lot of the best things that happened in my career, Triple H contacting me, is because of me over-delivering in 2003 when nobody was really, you know, I shouldn't say nobody, but my audience was very, very small. I was doing a Ask Joe weekly Q&A. And I mean, I wasn't just doing one sentence answers. I was answering like four or five questions and giving paragraphs, like everything I know, pouring in all my knowledge in these Q&As. And at the time, my website would get 50 hits a week. You know, I remember it hit 100 hits one week, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. But basically, the bottom line is nobody was reading it. Fast forward 12, 13 years later, and I might have even told you guys this story last time I was on your show, when Triple H was researching more of a sports performance trainer, he said a couple, you know, names popped up, me being one of them. And the thing that separated me, I don't know who his final three or final five was, but he said, you were the only one I could go back 10, 15 years, and I was just reading all this information. He said for 6 months, he read all my old Ask Joes and implemented some of the advice I was giving, and it worked for him. And I don't know what specific things he implemented. He just said, man, I did one of your shoulder rehab exercises, and I did this stretch, and then I did this bench press variation. He goes, everything I did of yours, it worked for me. So I was like, man, let me call this guy, and I'd love to meet him in person, and I'm sure I could get even more out of him. But if I don't do that in 2003, if I go down the Jersey Shore every weekend, instead of sit home on my computer answering people's questions for free,
yeah.
Triple H doesn't know who the hell I am, and I don't have that relationship with him right now, and me and you might not be talking because you may have found me through social media, and because I have a bigger presence now because of all the shout-outs that Triple H and Steph have given me over the years. Like, I don't forget that stuff, you know, that, and it snowballs. And it took 13 years for that, those hundreds and hundreds of hours of free work to maybe pay off, but the bottom line is it paid off. And I think that's a good lesson for all the young trainers out there to learn.
Speaking of learning, it's a great segue for my next question. On my phone, Joe, I have a photo of a picture on your phone. And that photo is a pyramid of Ben and Jerry's pints of ice cream. And some of my buddies back here, and I got some messages. I know your boys, your guys and girls who follow you want to know. With the whole rebuild, Joe D., that took place, everyone listening should know about what I'm talking about. If not, I'm sure you'll explain. Since June and up until now, could you share with us maybe something that you've really learned about yourself and what that was through that whole process?
Besides the fact that I was a fat bastard eating Ben and Jerry's every day?
Hey, man, you could get away with it, brother.
No, there's probably, you could probably do a whole podcast on the lessons. I'm definitely one of those guys that, you know, I know I don't know it. The only thing I know for sure is that I don't know it all. Yeah. And there's a million lessons that came from that. But my biggest one was probably the importance of hiring a coach or a mentor, even the best in the world at what they do. You could still use help in other areas. And I'm a guy, training is definitely my first passion, but obviously nutrition goes hand in hand. If you're going to be a personal trainer or a strength and conditioning coach, you need to know about nutrition too. So I've been very passionate about nutrition as well, and, you know, been counseling kids and athletes on nutrition my whole life. But that was one of those things. I probably eat healthier than 95% of the average population, but I was just more, you know, my thing is more the training. And so, like most normal people, I would let my own diet go, but you kind of convince yourself, like, I know what to do. I got it. I know what to do. Couple that with me just burning the candle at both ends and being a type A personality, workaholic, go, 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 go. I'm burning the candles at both ends. You know, I'm doing a little more cheat meals than normal, the Ben and Jerry's, I kind of joked about it, and I'm also working, you know, until 4 in the morning every night, getting woken up at 6 or 7, going on 2 or 3 hours of sleep, go, 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 you know, and that podcast I did with Dr. Tom, like, that was no BS, like, that was a slap in the face to me when I made the decision that we were going to read my blood work. It wasn't live because we record the shows earlier, but
yeah.
I always say my show's live because We don't edit anything. I record it, and whatever we say, that gets sent to CBS, and they put it on iTunes and Play.it and all the podcast platforms. So it was as live could be. And, you know, hearing that you're more unhealthy, this I'm supposed to be like this, you know, poster child of health and physical performance, and, you know, my brain chemistry was shot, depleted, my blood work was, you know, it was bad. And then throwing the fact that I'm over 40 now, like, it scared me. It scared the hell out of me. So moral of the story is, if I would have kept thinking, like, I'm the man, I'm one of the top strength and conditioning coaches in the world, I'm not going to lower myself and hire a nutritionist. I already know this stuff. I don't need help. Who knows, you know, where I'd be right now. It certainly wouldn't be healthier than I was last year. So having that coach and having him do for me what I now realize, now, you know, when people call me and, you know, I have kids that their parents call me and they're in tears talking about how I changed their son or daughter's life. And sometimes it's tough when you're in it to really see how much you're impacting people. But when I saw how much it impacted me to have somebody hold me accountable and call me up and, you know, yell at me and curse at me and make sure I was staying up to date with my blood work and my diet and going to sleep earlier and all that stuff, like, it changed my life. And that now more than ever, I used to always say, hey, get a mentor, find a mentor, you know, don't be afraid to hire a coach. Coaches need coaches. But I never really lived it. Now I lived it. And from a health perspective, it changed my life. And so shout out to Dr. Tom for that, because he's one of those dudes, he's not afraid to tell me, you know, how it is. He'll curse me out, embarrass me, like, yell at me in front of my wife and kids, but it worked.
Did he quit on you too at one stage, didn't you? Because
we felt guilty about that, because it all spurred from us, you know, you sharing that story with everyone. I told Tristan, I was like, man, dude, we kind of, hopefully this ends well. This could be a bad ending.
Yeah, thankfully it did. I won him back. But yeah, I forgot about that. That's where we revealed, the big reveal was with you guys.
Yeah, and it got, like, I remember you posted and you were like, Tristan and I were talking about it, and we heard something that you said, we weren't aware that so many other young people, you know, he was yelling at you because so many other young people look up to you for, like, spot-on advice in certain areas. And it was kind of, it was eye-opening for us, too, because you kind of take the small things for granted, or you think that you could get away with it. Or, like you said, I know how to get back on track. But just how you build good momentum, it could build the other way, too. So the coaching thing you said, man, it's very important to have a coach.
Yes, and it goes fast. Like, I don't know about you guys, but every year, it just blows by. Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing I'm very bad at too. Like, I don't know if I'm getting old or I have, like, no perception of time anymore. You know, my wife will ask me something and, you know, I'll think we did something 2 weeks ago and she'll be like, Joe, that was 6 months ago. And I'm like, oh my God, where's the time?
You got the vacuum on, man. You're in that.
But that, yes. And that's what happened with my diet. It was, you keep fooling yourself and you know, I'd be like, well, my arms are bigger and my, it's muscle. And then you see that picture of yourself in the mirror and the blood work, and someone like Dr. Tom, that's not afraid to spit the truth, you know, call you out. And now that I'm, you know, a different person, now you look back and you go, whoa, like I really let myself go for a longer period of time than I realized.
Yeah. Just sticking with your work with Dr. Tom, what were some of the staple foods that you had to pull out of the diet for you to get down to that low digit body fat?
Well, this is going to be weird for people because it sounds the exact opposite. Like, you're obviously the Ben and Jerry's and the obvious junk foods. But the big thing with me was the food sensitivity testing. I cut out apples and chicken, and I was those.
Does that include eggs as well?
And yes, and I didn't cut them out completely, but I went from eating 3 to 4 eggs every day to 2 to 3 eggs a week. Okay. So big, and I cut them out completely for 6 weeks. And then I just had 2 to 3 a week. On Sunday, I would have eggs for breakfast. They were like right on the borderline for me of in that sensitivity test. So I was allowed to have them every now and then. But yeah, so my two main protein sources, chicken and eggs, I developed an allergy to them or food sensitivity to them. And I never believed in that stuff. I remember Charles Poliquin mentioned that at a seminar I went to his, I think it was like 1999. Wow. He talked about cycle your protein powder because your body could develop an allergy by eating or, you know, taking the same supplement over and over or eating the same foods. Yeah. And I was like, that's some voodoo science BS. Like, how does your body just develop an allergy? Sure enough, all the foods that I showed up highly sensitive to were all the foods that I was eating every day. And when I cut, and you know, we joke about the Ben and Jerry's thing, but my diet really wasn't that bad. It's certainly better now, but I should have been leaner than I was. Like, yeah. Looking back, I'm not a guy, naturally I'm more of a bulky type of guy, but if you looked at my diet, I certainly shouldn't have had whatever I was, like 18% body fat. If somebody else ate the way I was eating, they probably would be, you know, pretty lean. So that really opened up my eyes to, wow, I cut out these so-called healthy foods that my personal, you know, body chemistry turned out to be sensitive to. And I'm telling you, within 2 weeks, I felt like crap for about 4 or 5 days. I felt like I had the flu. I felt awful. And then after that week, kind of hit the turning point. And then within 2 weeks, I'm looking at myself with my shirt off going, wow, I notice a major difference. And I wasn't starving myself. I would go to bed a little bit hungry because I wasn't overeating, but it wasn't for me to get the results that you see my before and after picture. Yeah,
they were amazing, man.
I could honestly say there wasn't a day where I was like, oh my God, I'm dying. I'm starving. I switched the foods I was eating and I didn't eat like a ton, you know, cutting out the Ben and Jerry's before bed obviously made a big difference, but it was more these healthy foods that are generally healthy for you. For whatever reason, my body wasn't reacting well to them. And when I couldn't figure out like, why do I have this gut when like I exercise 5-6 days a week, I'm active, I don't eat that bad, you know, that was it. So I'm a huge believer now in blood work and then eat right for your specific body chemistry and body type. To me, I don't know how anybody could argue that. It's you know, one size fits nobody, as Dr. Tom says.
Yeah. Joe, I'm struggling with a few different clients, a few of my online clients who live in America that I don't get to see. I get to video chat. Two different gentlemen, one's in his mid-30s, one's in his mid-20s. I'm doing their nutrition. You know, it's a weekly consult, and it's clean on paper. Everything looks good. Everything's clean. What advice? I think the problem is with the, because both of their goals is to lose weight. Right now we're at a standstill, and I'm under the impression they're over-consuming calories. They're eating clean, but they're eating too much of it. Is there any specific, and it's kind of what you just talked about, advice to myself and any coaches listening at home who are struggling with clients, what would you say from my perspective I could do better? Is it like challenging them on a daily basis? Is the weekly catch-ups not enough? Should I be weighing them every day? Could you share some insight on how I could get through that threshold so these guys could continuously lose weight?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like it could be a lot of factors. Yeah. Some of the things that pop into my head, maybe it is continue the conversation of the food sensitivity thing. I realize maybe not everyone could go get blood work done, at the drop of a hat. So one of the first things you could do, if you really believe they're eating, we'll backtrack. Yeah. They might be eating too much. So without seeing them, they might not be telling you some calories here and there. They have juice or a soda. They don't count it because it was only a couple sips. Like all those things, as we know, add up. So that aside, if that's not it, but just know that could always be it with online clients. You don't know what they're doing 24 hours a day when you're not watching them. But if they're eating the specific amount of calories that you feel that they should be in that slight caloric deficit, and they're working out hard, and they should be dropping some body fat, I think the next troubleshooting area would be to switch their foods. You know, for example, if to give you, you know, my example, if you were working with me and I was having that problem, and I'm having grilled chicken breast 2 or 3 times a day as my main protein source, maybe switch that chicken breast over to a fish, or, you know, a lean ground turkey or egg whites, whatever it may be. Maybe take some of the main foods, and not all of them. You always want to make small changes. If you throw the kitchen sink at someone, it gets too confusing. But maybe take 1 or 2 tops of the main foods they're eating, and just ask them, say, you know what, next week or tomorrow, cut that out, replace it with this. Take a mental note. How do you feel for the rest of the day? Get weighed when you wake up. Get weighed at the end of the day. Maybe they send you a picture that day. And maybe you could spot something where they switch their food, and 2 days later they go, wow, I feel less bloated. You know, my wife, Ashley, was allergic to lettuce. Yeah. She eats salad every day, 3 times a day. And, you know, we had twins, but they're 5 years old now. But she had like that. She was gotten incredible shape, but her thing was still, man, my stomach should be a little flatter. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is. And she was dieting hard and training and cardio. And turns out her number one food she was sensitive to was lettuce.
Wow.
She cut out the lettuce. And within a couple of days, she's like, oh, my God. And I'm telling you, she every friggin' afternoon, she'd be complaining about how bloated she feels.
Yeah.
So I was starting to get annoyed with it, too. Like, I hate people that, you know, I'm not a big complaining guy. So I was like, you got to stop. You're like, this is everything I'm against. Like, I'm married to this chick who doesn't stop complaining. But she cuts out the lettuce, and the bloating went away. The complaining stopped, and everybody was happy. So you could be allergic to lettuce, and it affect how you look like. And I know that because I lived it.
Yeah, that happened to my mom. She this was for like 30 years. She kept, and it was the lettuce. What the doctor told her, though, it was more that her digestive system couldn't digest it. So I don't know if that falls in the category of being an allergy, but it would just sit there and cause these stomach aches and inflammation. And we're told and we're taught that lettuce, it's always healthy. Like,
it's nothing. It's
water.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. I know Dr. Tom always gets mad at me because sometimes I interchange the word allergy with sensitivity. Technically, you're right. Like, your mom isn't allergic to lettuce. It's not like there's something in lettuce that makes her break out into a rash. Mm. It's the sensitivity is how your body reacts to the digestive process. And so, I mean, to the general public, they might not care. They just need to know certain foods, you know, even if they're healthy on paper, might not be good for you. But that's kind of the difference between like the allergy and sensitivity, just as far as, you know, technically speaking, the terminology.
One last thing on the rebuild Joe D thing. From that last picture you threw up, the progress shots, that last photo that you showed the world, to right now, have you been able to maintain that? Have you put a lot of the weight on? Because what I'm seeing on this live video Skype, you definitely look more streamlined.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go by weight, you know, but I was 215 in that after picture. And then I definitely, I don't want to say I let myself go, but I wasn't like super, super dialed in. And just another great lesson you talked about, things I learned. I talked about having a mentor or a coach. If you're lesson number two, whether you're a competitive powerlifter, bodybuilder, physique competitor, whatever, if you don't compete in anything, if you want a little extra kick in the butt, schedule a photo shoot or you know, do a competition. Even if you don't need to become I have no aspirations of being a pro bodybuilder or getting up on stage and posing in a Speedo. But knowing that I had a photo shoot set on that day, those nights when I wanted the Ben and Jerry's and I was like, what the hell does it matter if I have a couple, you know, spoons full of ice cream right now? Like, the world doesn't care. it's probably not going to affect my health that much. Yeah. Like, but knowing I had the photo shoot, that kept me so on track. And it's one of those lessons I learned from Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Like, Stephanie didn't have, she was supposed to wrestle last year at WrestleMania, and whatever, you know, the storylines fell through, and she kind of, she was so pumped and motivated, we're training hard, and then she got the word, like, oh, I'm not going to be performing at WrestleMania, and she lost motivation, while, you know, Paul, Triple H, and I, you know, I'm putting him through these crazy workouts, getting him ready, and she was like, well, what the hell, like, why am I killing myself, you know, and she lost a little bit of that motivation. Paul, Triple H, his real name is Paul, if I say Paul, he ends up scheduling a photo shoot with her for right after WrestleMania, and just for their own personal, you know, if they want to have a little scrapbook in their house or a little photo album, it wasn't to be posted online or anything, but to hold her accountable, he scheduled a photo shoot for her, and he was like, you know, I'm paying this guy good money to come and do a professional photo shoot. Now you have to be in shape. And it just was that little extra kick in her butt to get back on track. Yeah. And I experienced that same thing. Even if it's maybe for your website, you want to take some new pictures, schedule something, schedule a competition, put it out there. Now it's social media. Even if you only have 100 Facebook friends, make a video of you saying, hey, today's day one. I'm going to change my life. In 60 days, I'm going to get leaner than I've ever been. Put that video out there. I guarantee you on those nights you're about to cheat, it'll hold you accountable, because that one person that's going to call you out and go, I saw your video 3 months ago. Whatever happened to that 60-day challenge you talked about? That man, that's a huge motivational factor for me. So that is what I used. And then I don't want to say I let myself go, but for a month, I definitely didn't go back to how I was eating. But every now and then I cheated maybe once or twice a week as opposed to not cheating. So I went back up, and then after a month, right now I'm back down to 215, the exact weight that I was in the after picture. I'm probably not as lean because I did, you know, because I knew I was doing a photo shoot, I did the whole cut carbs and water. I try to do a little, try to get that little extra lean look for the pictures for that day. But I'm 1 week away from that shape at this point, and that's my goal, is to stay 1 to 2 weeks from there for the rest of my life.
Stay in striking distance.
Yeah. Just thinking on food.
I definitely got myself to a new set point. Like, I used to walk around at 230, 228, 230. Now I'm like 212, 215, and just as strong. I benched 405 for a double the other day for the first time in my life. Yeah.
And with a wrist injury too, didn't you?
What's that?
You had a wrist injury as well, didn't you, when you did that?
Yeah, Stu, my right wrist literally dislocated and separated. A freak thing holding a 45-pound. I had an old football injury, but that was 1998.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that was fine, but it was just a weird freak thing. My wrist dislocated. Oh, man, it scared the hell out of me. I popped it back in, and a week and a half later, I benched 405 for two at a body weight 20 pounds lighter than I normally was. So something's working.
Attaboy. Crazy bastard. All right, just thinking on food for a minute, because I know you love cottage cheese, man. And I've got a little recipe to share with you. So at the moment, after my post-workout meals at the moment, can you still eat rice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rice, I'm good. That's a big one.
Awesome. Well, this probably is once a week because you're cutting back your eggs. So I got 3 eggs. Scramble that up. I get my rice. A couple of teaspoons of ketchup for you guys, or tomato sauce for people in Australia. And obviously your cottage cheese. You throw that all in the pan for a couple minutes. Mix it all up in a bit of an egg scramble.
Ugh.
And it's good to go. And it's beautiful. It's creamy. It's good.
That sounds awful.
Really? I just shot a video. So you're the only other person, me and Triple H. I never heard of anyone else that I do the eggs and rice. I love eggs. I cook them so, when you mix it up, I do them like over medium, and then I throw them in the rice, so like the yolk kind of, you make a big mashed up thing. I love eggs and rice, but I never added the cottage cheese to it. I will definitely try it.
And a little bit of ketchup too, just a little bit.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, I'm going to give it a shot. Appreciate that.
That sounds horrible. A cottage cheese. That sounds
You've got to be a cottage cheese fan, man.
Oh, no way, man.
It's unique. It's unique.
Guys, we hope you're enjoying the episode with Joe DeFranco. Be sure to check out our other episodes with the likes of Charles Poliquin, Elliot Hulse, and many, many more from the strength and conditioning industry. If you haven't yet, Joe was actually on episode 40 of the Vision Board podcast, so also check that out. But in the meantime, please subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a 5-star review. Now back to the show.
That.
Speaking of, I don't know if cheese is the right word, but there's this one specific meal, and this is no BS, Joe. Houston's, when we went down there in Jersey on your recommendation, that cream spinach. How dare you? Like I'd be better off if you never would have told us about that dish. It was ridiculous. And then have you had it since? Is this still one of your staples?
The Houston's spinach dip is straight up addicting. If you don't love that stuff, I almost get in fist fights when people tell me, like, well, no, this other place has a better spinach dip. I'm like, no, no way, no competition. It's not even an argument. Yeah, since you've been here, we go to Houston's probably every week. I would say weekly. Okay. But the old Joe, I would never think of going to Houston's without getting the spinach dip as an appetizer. I don't think I've ever, before the whole Operation Rebuild Joe D thing, I never went to Houston's and didn't get the spinach dip. Now, since you've been here, I'm proud to say I've had it twice in 6 months.
Wow, that's so that's good.
My kids, I must have passed the trade on to my kids, though, because they're like fussy, but they tried it the first time, and me and Ashley were dying laughing because we're like talking, we look away. Next thing I know, both my girls have spoons. They bypass the chips, and they're eating the spinach dip out of the bowl with spoons. That's how good it is.
Definitely.
So now they're – so I gotta watch. They're still young, so they get away with it, but I got to watch out that it doesn't turn into a problem.
Joe, one of the best podcasts I heard during the year was your podcast with Rowan Murphy. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, because I saw that you trained him as well. And maybe you could just give some insights into that, man.
Yeah, so for those who maybe don't know who Rohan Murphy is, he's a former Penn State wrestler who was born with a major birth defect and at 4 years old had both of his legs amputated. Completely, like, just right below the hip, amputated. So he has no lower body. And I was doing it didn't come out yet. Eric LeGrand, another one of my good friends, and inspirational people, the former Rutgers football player who was paralyzed a couple years back and is just doing a ton of stuff to hopefully someday find a cure for those spinal cord injuries. But Eric is doing a online TV series where it's called Mission Possible, where he goes around the country and just finds other inspirational people and stories. And they do like these 10-minute online, almost like mini documentaries. So anyway, Eric was going to do a show on Rohan Murphy. And part of it was Eric wanted to get footage of Rohan training in the gym, and a couple kind of 6 degrees of separation type of thing. Turns out Rohan wrestled at Penn State. He's also a big professional wrestling fan. So Eric called me and said, hey, we want to incorporate Rohan training in this episode. A, would you like to kind of make a cameo in the TV show and put him through a workout, train him, but B, any way you could contact Triple H and we surprise him midway through the workout, like Triple H walks into the room and, you know, says what an inspiration Rohan is and then offers him tickets to WrestleMania. Yeah. So it was so, I was like so humbled that, that Eric thought to get me involved. It took a while with Triple H's schedule, but we made it happen, and we got to shoot the episode at the WWE headquarters in Connecticut. Rohan didn't know Triple H was there, though. He just thought we were doing the workout in Connecticut as kind of a meeting place for all of us. So midway through the workout, Triple H came down. It was so cool because it was cool for me. I was training Rohan for about an hour. Then Triple H comes down, and you see the genuine, like, look on his face where he was just shocked at the things that Rohan was doing. He was doing these flying, clapping push-ups and all this crazy stuff and just hopping around the gym like
his explosion,
you know, not making excuses, you know, no, oh man, it's tough for me to get up on the bench. Like I kept feeling almost like a little bit awkward because I didn't want to, you know, ask him to do something that maybe he couldn't do. And I was like hesitant, you know, I would say like, hey, Ro, can you get on the bench to do a barbell bench? Or if not, we could do something else. And he'd be like, no, man, I'm cool. And just run over there, grab a bar, you know, pull himself up, go on the bench. Well, hey, what do you need? You know, what do you want? I could do anything. And so I found myself almost, you know, like every minute that I was there, it was just like more and more inspirational. Mm-hmm. And then to see Triple H's face where he was like, oh my God, like he knew that he was coming to meet Rohan and he knew Rohan's story. But to see him in action and then meet him and see what a positive person he is, like you will not find, try to find a picture of Rohan online where he's not smiling. Like it's just always this huge smile on his face and the most personable good dude you'll ever meet. And man, I could honestly say like that was like a life-changing day for me. I remember driving home and I was stuck in, it was 5 o'clock traffic in Connecticut and New York. And I remember sitting in traffic and just almost like being in tears thinking about it. As corny as that sounds, I was like, man, anything I've ever thought of complaining about in my life, like just got wiped out forever. Between him and Eric in the same room and their vibe and their energy, I was like, I will never complain about shit for the rest of my life. And that's the biggest compliment I could give both of them. Positive, like all they do is talk about their blessings and how lucky they are to have this platform and reach more people. And I was just like, man, these are two special dudes right there. So anybody who doesn't know Eric LeGrand or Rohan Murphy, go look them up, follow them, and telling you, think twice next time you go, oh, woe is me, you know, it's I'm having a rough day. Next time you complain, Eric uses the term all the time, say, compared to what? You're pissed because you're stuck in traffic? Compared to what? There's dudes with no legs that are grateful for everything they have, and you're pissed because you got stuck in 5 o'clock rush hour traffic. You know, two awesome dudes right there.
Yeah, really, compared to what, it really speaks a lot, man. Like, day in and day out, I think it's human nature. We get so comfortable with making excuses sometimes. And to hear stories like that and hear your emotion through that, it really resonates with myself, Tristan, and people listening. So thank you for sharing that story with us. Because now I have, like, an attached, if you're an audio listener or an auditory learner, hearing that in your voice, you know, it resonates.
Yeah, I honestly, it's almost like, it's hard for me to talk about them. I get choked up because it's just, in a good way though, because it's so like motivational. It just, it hits me every time. And it's, I almost thought it was like one of those lessons from a higher power, whatever you may or may not believe in. But I told this story on my podcast with Rohan, but for your listeners who maybe didn't hear about it, the irony of this whole thing and the impact that they had on me, that morning I had the flu. I had it bad. Both my kids had Ava, my one daughter, had the flu, bad throwing up fever, 104 degree fever. She got, you know, finally got healthy, thank God. Then my other daughter got it. Then my wife got it. And then it hits me. The night before I got to do this TV show with Rohan and Eric, I wake up and I'm generally not a complainer, but I'm human. And especially with pain, I had a tumor in my spine at 17. I live with pain, but I just feel like you never get used to that. Flu feeling is awful. Yeah. You know, when you wake up and you have 102 fever and the cold sweats in your stomach, and I had that. Everybody's been there. You know how awful that feeling is. And I had the phone in my hand to call the producer of the show and cancel that day, because I was like, man, I got to drive an hour and a half to Connecticut. I'm like on the verge of throwing up. I got the shakes. I feel awful. Like, not only do I feel horrible, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to perform. You know, we're shooting a TV show. Like, I don't want to be throwing up on camera either. It might actually just be better for me to stay home. I had the phone in my hand, and for whatever reason, you know, I was like, man, it's one day, suck it up. Worst case scenario, if you're sick and you're puking when you're there, maybe they shoot it without you, but you got to at least give it a shot. So I popped a bunch of Tylenol and, you know, took a bunch of stuff and just sucked it up for that, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And, you know, looking back now, if I would have canceled because I had the flu and then, you know, canceled on a guy that's paralyzed from the neck down and one that has no legs and are the two most positive people in the world, like, I don't know if I would have been able to live with myself. But just weird how that happened that morning, and that has had such an impact on me.
I want to talk to you about your dad, George D. What's happening with George? Because I saw that you caught him on the vlog. He was pretty pissed off. But at the same time, he offered some great advice on actually training. Because what is he, 70? Is he now,
Joe? 70 years young, yep.
Awesome. He offered some good advice in that video. And just to see him training still at that age and still looking great. Because remember, you were saying, like, he was saying that he wasn't looking good anymore. But he probably looks better than 90% of the people out in the world. He looks great still.
Oh, yeah. He compares himself, I said it on the vlog, he compares to when he was 30 and even 40, and he bench pressed 440 pounds and he was winning powerlifting contests and literally breaking people's arms. He was third in the world in arm wrestling and, like, New Jersey state champ 6 times. So he's just like an animal.
Savage.
He's a freak. So he's pissed. And it's funny we do this whole, you know, George D is pissed, but it's true. He's unfortunately, I love my dad. He's the best. But all this talk about being positive and not complaining and stuff, like, he's just an old school guy that, you know, we're trying to work on him with that a little bit more. But it's just funny that he legitimately is pissed. He thinks he should be able to do at 70 what he did at 30 and can't comprehend why he can't do it, and it legitimately pisses him off, which makes all us laugh. But, like, my mom will say, well, you know, it's not so funny when you live with him because he's really pissed off.
Joe, and like Tristan aforementioned, time is very valuable. We have a few more questions. One I want to ask you specifically, it's a personality question that we haven't asked you before. If your three best friends were sitting in a room at a roundtable discussion and you weren't there, what would your three best friends say about you?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, positive. Well, it's always better to end with the positive. So, negative, they're all going to talk shit about me for being late all the time. That's going to be number one. Listen, I get it, because I'm with you. Time is the most valuable asset we have. And I know the whole, you know, people say when you're late, it's like it's disrespect of other people's time. And that's the one thing that it does bother me a little bit, because I am always late. But the weird irony of the whole thing is, and this isn't me trying to make excuses, it's just the truth, and it's something I got to get better at, is I still got to get better at saying no to more people, because, like, the irony of me being late all the time and so-called disrespectful to people's time is I'm usually late because I'm trying to help so many other people and squeeze so many things in that somebody ends up, you know, being hurt by it and having to wait an extra 10 minutes for me. So if I just said no to everybody and just did one podcast a day or one session a day, I'd be an hour early for everything. But I'm the type of guy, even before this podcast, like, I was good We started recording at 2 o'clock my time. At 1:30, I was good. I checked my email, and I had – it was like one of those things that, hey, can you call me real quick? I just got to – and I was like, I should not answer this right now. I got a half hour. And then right next thing I know, I got off the phone at like 2:02. And I'm sitting there going, here I go again. Like, it's just – by trying to please everybody, you end up – pissing some people off each day. And so that would, by far, my number one negative is going to be I'm always late, but it does come from a good place. I'm not home watching cartoons and, you know, losing track of the time. I'm usually doing something for someone else, and that's why, you know, I'm late getting somewhere. So that's one. And two, my best friends, another, I guess they would call it negative, but you guys probably understand, any entrepreneur understands, I don't do enough social things. Like all my college buddies get together like once every 6 months. Everybody's from different areas now, and they'll all meet up for dinner. And like, I'm always the guy, not always, but 90% of the time, I'm the guy who doesn't make it because I'm working. I got to do this. I got to do that. So they would say like, dude, he needs to kind of put work aside a little more and hang out with his boys, you know, type of thing. So those are the two negatives. The biggest positive, I think the nice things they would say about me is that I'm always willing to help and bend over backwards for people and, you know, share my time for free. You know, it's funny when you're helping, people don't care if you're late for other people. If you're late because you were helping them out with something, and forever I've been that guy. The amount of athletes I've trained for free, friends that I've designed programs for free, you know, stayed on the phone and helped them out with things like that. I can't even count at this point. So, you know, being generous with my time, my information, my physical belongings, I think they would all have kind things to say about me in that regard.
Awesome. Well, I've got one more personality question. It's a little bit different to the one we asked you when we first came on, asking you about the dinner party question last time we had on. So this one's just taking you back to your childhood. Now, Joe D, what posters did you have on your wall when you were growing up? And I know one of them is probably going to say Walter Payton, for sure. You already know that one. But who else was on there, man?
Walter Payton, Pamela Anderson, and it was all football. I had Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, who's like less known maybe than Walter Payton, but those were my two idols football wise growing up. They both wore number 34. I'm gonna see if you guys.
Houston, I have both of their rookie cards, Earl Campbell and Payton.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah,
check
University.
Can you see that?
Yeah, 34.
Oh wow,
jeez,
that's me at,
with the old neck roll. I like the old neck.
Me at seven.
What?
And then this is in my
my
home office. A rare picture of both of them.
Both of them, two different.
So I still at 41. I'm still with Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, and then it was Pamela Anderson and the Incredible Hulk. Those were the four, and then a lot of other NFL. I was just a huge NFL football fan. I was a Redskin fan, even though I grew up 5 minutes from Giant Stadium. So a whole bunch of Washington Redskins stuff. My dad painted my room maroon and gold for the Redskins. So that it was Redskins, Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, Pamela Anderson, and the Incredible Hulk.
Ooh.
Yeah, last weekend I was watching the playoffs down here in Sydney, and your boy Cushing is up for an award, and it had his photo here, and right next to it, it said the award he was up, Walter Payton, that he was up. So I screenshot and I sent it to you, and I was like, that's synchronicity right there. Your boy and then your boy all in the same thing. It's pretty cool.
Isn't that crazy? And generations away from each other. But and what that award stands for is cool, too, because we all know, you know, Cush is a great football player. But the Walter Payton Award, for people who don't know, it's the man of the year. It's each NFL player from all the 32 teams that does the most in their community and outside of the football field. So, you know, that felt good as a guy who has known Cush since he's 15 to see him grow up and be, you know, an adult and a superstar on the athletic field and this huge star. But that, you know, one of the things we're big on at DeFranco's is just, you know, kicking ass and, you know, we hate to lose, we hate to take second, but do it in a humble manner as well, you know, and to see him have that humility and still giving back to the community when he's a murderer on the football field, to me, that was very cool.
Yeah, one more thing before I let you go, I wanted to tell you this personally. Since we interviewed you on our show and we went to yours in June, you've really helped Tristan and I take our show, our mission, and our thought process on a different trajectory. So we really appreciate you.
Oh, yeah.
We really appreciate your time and all that you do, man. Keep inspiring, big dog.
Thank you, man. That means a lot to me. It's always nice to hear when you can affect other people and you guys as well. You know, I've done a lot of podcasts, but there's a reason why I think we've developed a relationship quickly, and you guys have hosted, you know, you guys are the only people besides me that have hosted, you know, my show. So that's the greatest compliment that I could give you guys as well. So once again, you know, honor for me to be on your 100th episode, and to you guys have that confidence and respect for me means a lot. So thank you.
100%. I can't say it any better. Like, yeah, what you've done for us, even just following you for a number of years, you know, you're the one that inspired us to get into the fitness industry and just to help as many people as we can. And, you know, we have the same sort of mindset and thought pattern. So helping people is number one. So
yeah,
thank you for bringing that out, man.
No, thank you. And thank you for saying that. But yeah, you guys are definitely running with it now, man. Like I said, I mentioned it on my podcast, but for your listeners to hear, of all the podcasts I've been on and all I spend a lot of time in my car because of my relationship with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. So I listen to quite a few podcasts, and the Vision Board podcast is on that top five list. So that's the best compliment I could give.
Thanks, my man. And for all the new listeners out there, Joe, what's the best way for them to connect, and just your website? And also, you've got obviously your supplements range as well.
And your show.
Yes, thanks. So we got a lot going on. My website is DeFranco'sTraining.com or DeFranco'sGym.com. Brings you to the same place. That's the home base for my podcast as well. There's a podcast section on there. You could click it, and there's a player, right, an audio player right on that page. So you could listen to the show right there, as well as get the show notes and the timestamps. Sometimes I have a tendency to ramble, so if you want to get right to a specific point on an episode, we provide that for you guys. And then on all social media, I am at DeFranco's Gym. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're starting to do a lot more on Instagram. That seems to be the where everybody's hanging out recently. I wasn't too into Instagram up until a couple months ago, but now that I see that, that's where most people's attention is. We're posting a lot of our content there. So definitely follow us on Instagram at DeFranco's Gym. And then our YouTube channel is Joe DeFranco. If you go on YouTube, search Joe DeFranco, all the videos will pop up. And like I said, we're doing the vlog is kind of a behind the scenes look each week. Every Monday, we post a new vlog. And I'm going to try to once a week do kind of an instructional type video. Like last week, I did how to deadlift. This week, I got some glute activation exercises. Going to kind of go back to my roots and give instruction consistently once a week as well. So we're back on YouTube more consistently. So check that out as well. Our DeFranco Insider is our, if you want even more content, kind of the real good stuff, we give like Triple H, Brian Cushing's workouts, some of our VIP clients workouts, exclusive videos, exercise index with hundreds and hundreds of videos, exclusive workouts, the whole deal, DeFrancoInsider.com. Smitty and I are both partners on that, and we provide a ton of amazing content, live Q&As with Smitty and I every week. So a lot of great stuff there as well.
JD, are we ever going to see you in Australia? One more question.
I don't know, man. I feel like my wife would love to go. I'm not a big travel guy. I got to get past that flight. But never say never. If I could snap my fingers, I would be there right now. But it's the whole travel thing that
you got
I can't stand.
You got a good little army down here. like so many strength coaches, man, they're all about, you know, they're all on board, man. They'd be awesome. They'd be stoked to see you live.
In Australia, you know, I get the stats for the downloads of my podcast. You know, after the U.S., Australia's top three or four, and there's our show's been being downloaded in over like 120 countries each episode. And Australia's top four, I think the lowest it was 1 month was five. So, like, I guess there's definitely an audience down there that's ready for DeFranco's.
Excellent, brother.
Well, Joe, thank you again for coming on. You know, you lived up to the bill. The 100th episode was probably the best episode.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you, man. You keep continuing to pump that awesome content. Keep helping inspiring people.
Thank you. You too, guys. Congrats again on 100 episodes.
Thank you so much, Joe. We'll speak soon.
All right, man.
Peace. Later, guys. And guys, that was the man, the 100th episode with Joe DeFranco.
We really appreciate you guys tuning in, 100 episodes, supporting the cause. This goes out to you guys, the fans, the listeners, our friends and family who've supported us since day one. We really like to say thank you for it.
Yeah, it's been a big moment for both of us. Like, we could never imagine all those, you know, 14 months ago that we'd ever make 100 episodes. So we just started as a passion project, and now it's something that we just love doing every week. So we appreciate the support, and if you could just, you know, share the love, share it with your family and friends, because I think every single episode has a message that everyone can get out, something out of it.
That's 100%. Episode 100, guys. Share the love, subscribe to the show. We'd like to say thank you for everyone who left the 5-star reviews. That helps us grow and continues to follow us on our journey. Johnny Stofko, all social medias. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Really appreciate you. Love all the support.
Awesome. And I'll be fine on Tristan Cannell Fitness. And guys, get in touch in terms of vision board stuff. Send anything to info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. And just remember, you can subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And like Johnny said, please, if you can, just put a little bit more juice in. And if you could leave us a 5-star review, that really helps us grow. So we're really appreciative of that.
Yeah, and just give a shout. I can't say all the names, but recently all the love and feedback on your Instagram, my Instagram. I know people have been reaching out more and more. So if you're not following Tristan Cannell Fitness on Insta, Johnny Stofko, keep bringing it, man. We'll keep bringing it for you.
Definitely. To finish the week, we've got another Friday recap. We'll kind of go over what we really learned from Whitney Miller and Joe DeFranco over the last couple of sessions. Just remember, next week, we've got some different flavor. We've got Hayden Cox, who is one of the best surfboard makers in the world.
Innovator.
Yeah, he's won Surfboard of the Year 3 times. He's an Aussie boy.
Inventor.
Yeah, doing great things across Los Angeles, Asia, Europe now he's broken into. Australia he's always been into, but he's an entrepreneur. He's about 34 years old, but he's been doing his thing since he's been in his teens, so it's going to be great to pick his brain.
I like how you say Los Angeles. Say it again.
Los Angeles?
Yeah, Los Angeles. Excellent. LA, Hayden Cox, we're stoked.
Yeah, it'll be cool. And then on the Wednesday, we're also going to have Vince Del Monte coming in. So Vince, he's in Canada currently. He's an American boy, but he's doing great things. He's online training. He's used to be Skinny Vinny, but he's not Skinny Vinny no more, but he helps that. He's found a niche. And he's one of the best in the business.
Vinny is a killer. All you young coaches out there, be ready for this one. All you young fitness entrepreneurs, tune in to Vinny Del Monte. Vince.
Definitely. So big week ahead, guys. So tune in, tell your mates, and we'll speak to you soon.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast. Stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.